you found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com. Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earl and David Spada.
Oh, are we having fun today, David? It's about 27 past the hour, and having Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, online with us, and of course with an update at training camp with the Bears, with Mark Masonev is, you know, opening the eyes a little bit. Like we said, the Bears got to be patient with them. New quarterback, Lovey's calling the defense now, and it's just going to take a little bit of time. And hopefully in the next 3 weeks, preseason, we'll get it hammered out.
And how about Mark Murphy, the Packers press, saying he doesn't care about Brett Favre coming back?
Well, why should he? I mean, to tell you the truth, I like a 40-year-old in the pocket, you know, and if the Bears and the
Packers. And he's got a slight tear of his rotator cuff he's playing with.
That's right. And, you know, that just goes to show how horrible the quarterback situation is in Minnesota to have to bring back a 40-year-old fart old fart, as I call him, back at quarterback.
They've been better off taking Michael Vick instead of the, letting the, Eagles get him.
Well, let me tell you, we've got a guy on the line. All right. And he was the heart and soul of the O-line with the Birmingham Stallions back in 1983, 84, and 85. And it's so good to connect with him. You know, I've always kept his phone number in my cell phone. And I was going through the other day and trying to delete because I'm only allowed 500 and I'm always got new phone numbers and so forth. So I had this guy on the chopping block. And I can't believe it that he picked up the phone. Mark Battaglia out in Pittsburgh. How you doing, buddy?
From the chopping block to the Barely Legal. I mean, come on. This is what a resurrection.
Man, you know, this goes worldwide, you know, Mark. I mean, it absolutely, you know, it streams the web. We're on the largest Score Radio, which is the largest sports talk show in Chicago. It streams on their website and, of course, TalkZone.com. I don't know if you if you had a chance to get on the site this morning and listen live, but
it's really, really cool. And I have to tell you, you know, I'm just really excited, you know, to have a chance to talk with you and meet Dave. And you know, it's a Mark day. It sounds like Mark Murphy, Mark this, and Mark Battaglia, and in 40-year-old old farts, I fit the bill.
Yeah.
although I'm not 40, I'm not in the 40s much longer.
Oh, when do you turn 50?
December.
Yeah. You know,
you're still younger than your college coach.
That's correct.
Yeah.
By about 33 years.
About 33 years. You know, Mark, I tell the listening audience, we start talking about the old USFL days and so forth. Tell the people listening out there, and there's going to be iPodness later, tell us how much fun we had with the Birmingham Stallions. Was that a blast or what?
I work with Merrill Lynch, and I've had the opportunity of working with a lot of different athletes over the years, and one of them was Mark Stepnoski, who played at Pitt. He played with the Dallas Cowboys for years with Aikman. He was the center, and he used to ask me. He asked me one time, "What was it like playing in the USFL?" I said, "Man, it was a blast. We had a ball," and he was so intrigued by it. He goes, because really, he says, "You're like the sixth or seventh guy I've asked, and they've all said the same thing." He goes, "What was so much fun about it? You know, the NFL is not that much fun." He goes, "You know, he was playing for Jimmy Johnson at the time."
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I think, you know, it was just, you know, the wild, wild west. There was no, you know, preconceptions. There were no rules. There were no. If there were rules, we certainly broke every last one of them. But
That's right.
I was telling somebody yesterday, you know, I had the great fortune of being on a national championship team in college.
At Penn State, right?
Right, in 1982. And, you know, he said, "Man, that must have been the time of your life, you know, college, and, you know, first national championship in 100 years of Penn State football." And I said, "You know what? That was great, but, you know, the time of my life was in Birmingham, 1983, 84, 85. I mean,
you bet, man.
It was the best.
What was so great about it? Did you guys not practice hard? You just played the games or what?
Oh,
you went out drinking all the time?
Oh, that's part of it.
That was the best part of it. We practiced hard. We were not. There were some teams. You talked to some of the, you know, San Antonio gunslingers. You know, Rick D'Amico, who played with us in Birmingham, then he was traded to San Antonio.
That's right.
Those guys. That was like the North Dallas 40 down there. They started practice at like 11:30. It was over by 1, and they were poolside. You know, by 1:30, with drinking. You know, they didn't get their last three game checks either. Some oil magnate that owned them. Just, yeah, I guess he went belly up.
Went belly up.
Yeah.
What I tell the people is the reason. That, you know, and another thing, you know, because I got traded from Oklahoma, and actually I was Doug Williams' roommate for 10 days there with the Oklahoma Outlaws. And, uh-huh. And when, remember, Hank Coolman called me like 6 o'clock in the morning. I was our assistant head coach under Raleigh Dodge.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that voice because Doug answered the phone. I heard Hank on the other end. He said, "Hey, is Robin there?" And I says, "Yeah, Coach. It sounds like Coach Hank." And he goes, "Yeah, it is. We just traded for you. Get your ass on the first plane out of Tulsa. You're coming to Birmingham." And I says, "What the hell did you trade? An 18th round draft choice or something?" You know? But I'll never forget when I walked in there for the first time, Cliff Stout, our quarterback, tells me this story. He says, "Robin, as soon as you walked onto the practice field in your street clothes, all the offensive linemen started getting a little nervous." No, I'm a tight end. Don't worry about that, boys.
Yeah. You're a wonderful addition to a great, organization now. And, we remember the days fondly.
Who was your star in the team? Was it Joe Cribbs?
Our running back.
Our running back, yeah.
He was the franchise player with the Stallions?
Well, actually, Robin and I like to think we were. probably would have to be either him, Cliff Stout, or Jim Smith. I'm not sure that we have franchise players back then.
Not to interrupt you, Dave, but I think, you know, the whole key to the USFL and the reason that we had such great cohesiveness and got along really well is because everyone made about the same amount of money.
Except for
Cribbs, Stout, and Jimmy Smith. I mean, but we expected that's okay. You know, of course, Joe coming from Buffalo and the two guys, Stout and Smith, coming from the Steelers, you know, they made the bigger money. But we didn't have a problem with that. I mean, we all were just blue-collar, hard-working, happy to be there. We all, most of us, got cut in the NFL, and we were just happy to have a job.
What did you guys make back then?
Oh, boy.
I was making, I know my last year, I probably made $130,000, $140,000 in 1985 for a non-talented offensive lineman. That wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad at all. And you know what? And that was about the average. The average, probably, the first year guys were probably making somewhere between 65, 70, right, and about 90, 95 to 100 on the, when I finished up there. And you know what was kind of cool, Mark, is that even though the league went bust and, we won the lawsuit, but got a dollar benefit out of it because it was triple charge. You understand I'm talking to my attorney over here. He'll fill me in on all this.
Where it's trebled to $3. Our CFO of the league still has that $3 check from the NFL.
That's right. And he posted
what's it worth
online.
On eBay? Did he put it on eBay yet and try to sell it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's that one's worth keeping.
Question, though, with Joe Cribbs. I remember I did some research when we were going to talk to you today. I see Joe Cribbs, they actually had a contract, and he held out. Do you remember that?
Wow.
He didn't want to come back and play. He wanted to go back to the NFL.
I do remember him holding out a week or maybe 10 days. Yeah. I do remember that in 85. Yeah.
Jimmy Smith held out, I think, for a while, too, but that may have been for a different reason.
Hey, do you know what, Mark? I connected with Jimmy a couple, 3 months ago. Believe it or not, I was a guest speaker at a dinner called PAVE, P-A-V-E. It's Public Awareness for Violence.
Uh-huh.
And it's for individuals, women or men or children who have been abducted or kidnapped or gang raped or whatever. And one of the victims, I sat next to at the table, and she looks at me and says, "Are you a football player?" And I said, "Yes, I'm Robin Earl, and also played for the Birmingham Stallions of the USFL." She goes, "My uncle played for the Stallions."
No.
I go, "No way. Who was it?" He says, "Jimmy Smith." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." So I've kind of hooked up with him a little bit, emailing back and forth. But you know what? We have got to get the old 84, 85 Stallions back together and have some kind of reunion party coming up here.
I agree. I mean, we had the Raleigh Dodge Golf Tournament going, and that served as, it would have been an excellent way to keep everybody together. But unfortunately, you know, Mrs. Dodge, it was just too painful for her to, you know,
Right.
Go through that on an annual basis. You know,
yeah, the wounds
were still, you know,
yeah,
we're still there when we were doing it.
We were doing it, you know, just to fill the people in. Raleigh Dotch was our head coach. You know, he had 4 Super Bowl rings with the Steelers. One of the most amazing guys. I mean, he was not only our coach, but he was a father and a friend to us. And that's where I heard pull up the bootstraps and move forward. That's the first time I had heard that, because remember that, I don't know who we were losing at halftime, and he was so pissed off. He comes in the locker room and told everyone to get the red ass and pull up the bootstraps, and I'll never, ever forget that one.
He was tremendous. I think of him singing "Oh Danny Boy" on the airplane, intercom. Coming home from a playoff win, I think of Raleigh a lot.
I do too. Yeah.
Talking about coaches, what was it like playing for Joe Paterno?
As Robin was talking about, Coach Dotch, totally different. I mean, Joe was a pain in the ass. He was on you from the time you stepped on campus to the time you graduated, and he made sure you graduated. And he was. Really, not a guy you loved like Raleigh. I mean, he was totally, totally different, but you respected him. And I still respect him. And as the years have gone by since playing for him, we're very close, actually. And, but in a totally different way. He's more business-like, more CEO-like. Raleigh was, one of us. And he was totally comfortable, pouring, drinking with us, having parties, off at the line party. I mean, the way he was able to build camaraderie was, second to none. I mean, just really, really effective leadership.
Yeah, it was such a relief coming from Oklahoma and the Bears, where you hit 2 times a day, you put on the pads, you had nut crunchers and nut grinders every play, it seemed like. And then when I came to the Stallions, and then all we had 3 days a week, it was shorts and shoulder pads and helmets in the morning, and then the afternoon practice was just helmets. And it was so relieving. I'm going, wow, man, that is why the wear and tear on the body. I mean, we had an 18-game schedule, 2 games preseason. I think the NFL is going to adapt to that sooner or later. Right. They're going to have to, but the owners are against it because they don't make as much money, and it's all about the greed of the game.
Yep.
But you know what? You take the 2-point conversion. You take about, the red flag that goes out there. See, the USFL was the innovative of all that, and the instant replay and so forth. And
Who destroyed the league? Did the lawsuit kill the league, or did one of the owners kill the league, or what killed the league?
Well, who do you think? Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
What did he do?
The big-haired bastard. He pushed it.
That's right.
Drew the line in the sand, and he said, all right, we're taking on the NFL. We're going to move from a spring league to the fall. We wanted to keep salaries, low. Yet he goes out and, pays Brian Sipe $600,000. He couldn't throw a 15-yard out of his career.
Yeah, and Herschel Walker
those guys. So he pushed. He was the pusher. He pushed, and let's sue the NFL for claiming monopolizing the television contract. They were found guilty. We were off for a year. They were found guilty right as NFL camps opened. Right after NFL camps opened up, the jury came down. He goes, three of the women wanted to give us $200 million damages, which would have been trebled to $600 million, and this is 1986. It's a hell of a lot of money. The other 3 women on the jury couldn't determine, what the damages should be, so they compromised to $1.
It's unbelievable.
The biggest travesty of justice since O.J. I'm not quite over it yet, 20-something years later, Robin. I don't know if you can sense that, but
yeah, well,
unbelievable.
You were passionate about it. I was looking so forward to the 86 season, and the only good thing that came out of that is the fact that a few of us, I think 15 players or maybe 20 players were selected for each team as the core group, and we actually got paid during that transition from the spring to the fall, and I was able to cash a few more checks with the Stallions, which was kind of nice.
That's
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say that on this?
Well,
am I going to get
bleeped? We've got our.
I didn't know about that until just now, Robin.
Yeah, really? You didn't get a check?
You know what? I don't know if I did or not quite.
Okay, gotcha.
Did you get a chance to play in the NFL at all after that, or?
I did not. Now, there was, I think, 90 guys from the USFL transitioned into the NFL. As an offensive lineman, you know, it's very difficult to walk into a camp 2 weeks late and, you know, try to pick things up. But if you're Jim Kelly or Herschel Walker or Reggie White, for that matter, you know, it would be a lot easier of a transition. So it was tough timing for me.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Got to wait another year.
Yeah. Mark, we got about a couple of minutes here. We're up against the clock. We were talking last week. You got to give us a little story. Mark, like me, likes to play a lot of golf. You're out at the Mario Lemieux golf outing. Tell us a little Jim McMahon story.
Well, my wife was there, myself. This is at the after party, after golf, after the dinner. There's an after party at this beautiful pool, you know, infinity pool and the reggae band. And the Stanley Cup was there. This is only 2 weeks after the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. And boy, didn't I have a great day and being able to play with Sidney Crosby, who's a delightful young guy. I mean, the total, you know, antithesis of Mr. McMahon, I might say. He's polite. he's very, very classy guy. So I'm there. My wife and I and another couple just got our picture taken with the cup. And up comes this, you know, bustling, you know, through the crowd. There's, all right, go, you know, here comes Jim McMahon. And he's wearing shorts and he's barefoot. You know, I'm, you know, business casual. He's wearing shorts and he's barefoot. He comes, I want to get a picture with the cup. I want to take a picture of the cup. And the cup, there's a security guy there with the cup. This is the real deal, you know. So he comes up, so he puts his arm around the cup and he drops his short, exposing this black thong banana hammock. He goes, he pulls up his shirt and he wants to rip to show his rippling abs. He goes, take my picture. They take a picture. We were howling. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Did anyone get a picture of that?
Oh, he's got there's a picture. There is a picture out there. I don't know who the hell took that picture.
We
got
to find that one.
I bet you he has it.
So what did you call that? A banana hammock?
Banana hammock, yeah. A thong, something I've never seen on a male before.
But he's a class act, isn't he?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Unbelievable. Mark, that really, you know, I mean, you know what? It doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, I played 2 years for the wacky QB, the punky QB, and that doesn't surprise me one bit. Mark, I can't tell you how great you enlightened our lives and our show this morning. And Mark Battaglia, Merrill Lynch financial planner. For those listening abroad and across the country, he can be called at 412-854-7762. 412-854-7762. Vice President Merrill Lynch there in the Pittsburgh area. And, hey, good job, man. Thank you so much.
Love catching up with you, David. Nice to meet you.
Nice good to luck. Talk to you, Mark.
Bye. All right. This is the Barely Legal Show. And we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is former Chicago Bear Robin Earl. For 7 seasons, you watched me play for the beloved every weekend. Now I empower people's lives every day with my Liberty Chicago team and strive for health, wealth, and happiness. To stay involved in sports, I coach youth football camps and started, believe it or not, a sports talk show called Barely Legal. Join me and my partner, attorney David Spada, as we talk sports, legal issues, have interviews with current and former players, and a whole lot more.
Hey, Robin, give me a chance to talk. Can I get a word in?
Take it easy.
For years, I've been helping SCORE listeners with all their legal issues, traffic violations, personal injury matters, whether on the job or in a car accident, real estate, and more. If you need any of these, call me, attorney David Spada, today at 847-729-COMP. That's 847-729-2667. I'll bail you out like I did my partner here. And also, catch what a former Chicago Bear has to say or grab some legal expertise by logging on to 670thescore.com today and listen to our show, Barely Legal.
Have you ever read something or saw something and in the back of your mind you're saying to yourself, wow? Hi, Robin Earl here, and let me introduce you to the most explosive revolution ever in the telecommunications industry. On September 1st, Liberty International is launching their very own WOW mobile wireless phone service. WOW's unlimited everything is exactly what it says. Unlimited data transfer, unlimited internet, unlimited voice, unlimited text, unlimited emailing, and unlimited calls anywhere in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico all for a flat rate of $79.95 a month. There are no taxes, no contracts, no credit checks, and no fine print. Add just $10 to the plan, and you're able to call 40 international countries absolutely free. If you're like me and want to take it to the next level and have everything you want without the bill, then all you have to do is refer 3 clients to Liberty's WOW wireless service, and your mobile service is absolutely free. Wow! Not only is my home digital phone service free, but now my mobile phone service is free. Wow, that's awesome. For more information about Liberty International's phone service and the incredible opportunity it provides, call me at 847-276-0671. Again, 847-276-0671. Or visit my website, robinearl.net. Look forward to hearing from you.